The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga on this October the 11th. We're almost into the middle of October, and it seems like we just turned the page on September. So the rest of the year flies by when October starts with the holidays and everything that comes up. And we're so busy, so, you know, just go with the flow. And Monday, they celebrate Columbus Day, so some of the businesses have off. And if you do, enjoy the long weekend. And if you don't, well, you know, enjoy it anyway. Right now, I want to introduce a special guest. He's a friend of mine. I, as you know, in the summer, I work up at NYRA at Saratoga Track in security. And for 14 years, that's why I'm not here in the summertime doing the show. But I met Naj there. At the time, he worked for NYRA in the office, and now he's head of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, which the main office is in Saratoga. So we've got Nasha Thompson. Good morning, Nash.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. Believe me, it's good to see you off meet.
Good it to really see you is. As well.
You're a great guy.
Appreciate that.
I'm going to read a little bit about you. Naj joined New York Thoroughbred Breeders as executive director in 2020 after nearly a decade of experience in marketing, communications, and human resource at New York Racing Association. Naj also serves as vice president of the Turf Publicists of America. He's a graduate of Florida State University. He developed his passion for thoroughbred racing after being introduced to the sport by his uncle, a small breeder in Florida. Growing up, attending the races at tracks in both Florida and New York, he followed his passion to work in the industry. And I've got to say, Naj, that I've known you in both positions, and you're a fantastic guy.
Ha, appreciate that, right?
Nah, you really are. I really look up to you. You're just a really neat person. And I'll tell you, this position that you have now suits you just fine, because we talked before the show that it's a lot of socialization, because you have to deal with owners and breeders and trainers and pretty much everybody. And you just handle it so well. You're always laughing down there. And,
Thank you, Rick. You're a great guy as well. I'd be remiss if I don't mention that. It's been great to always know you, Rick, over the years. And it has to be
over 10 years?
Really close
Yeah,
now.
It's been a long time. Yeah, so anyway, why don't we talk about your job and role?
Sure.
And even talk a little bit about what you did before becoming the head of the New York Breeders.
Definitely. So in my current role, as you mentioned, I'm executive director of New York Thoroughbred Breeders. We are the membership organization and the official authorized representative of the thoroughbred breeding industry in New York State. For me as executive director, that entails a lot of lobbying for support of horse racing and thoroughbred breeding, as well as working for our stakeholders for the New York Bred Program. And those are horses that are foaled or born here in the state of New York. Roughly about, you know, we're talking 1,800 horses per year. They go on to compete, of course, and race at Saratoga Racecourse up here locally, as well as Belmont Park and Aqueduct Racetrack downstate and Finger Lakes Racetrack in western New York. So with my role, and prior to being and joining NYTB, I was at NYRA for over 10 years, as you mentioned. Started in the marketing department and then moved over to communications, where I met Rick. I was working in the press team, so covering the stakes races and daily racing. And lastly, working in HR before joining NYTB. So my role is really about promoting not only the New York bred horses that run and compete and win races, but as well our industry overall, which is supports 19,000 jobs in New York State and over $3 billion in economic impact. And of course, Saratoga is a huge part of that picture.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with Aqueduct, Belma, and Saratoga, I think, well, Saratoga has a charm to it,
yes,
because of how long it's been a track and the area, and people come from all over the world to see, you know, to for the summer meet. And it's a good time of the year for that to happen, too. But I know the New York breds play an integral role in horse racing. We've had some fine horses come out of New York. And so, but it's a job that entails a lot of work for you, and moving around a lot too. I know you're here in Saratoga because the main office is here, but you also work down in New York, around New York City,
yes,
or Long Island or the Bronx or that we talked about. How's the travel aspect of it?
You know, for me, it's fun. It's not a grind yet. So I do get to go in representation of the New York breds that are running and our program and organization, trying to build that awareness. So our members who are breeders, of course, breed these horses, and you want to sell them at auction or race them as owners later on in their equine athletic careers. So for me, that entails visiting racetracks meet face to face and definitely interact with and get to know owners and breeders and horse players and general fans, and just building that awareness through the, you know, expansion of racing partnerships. You can join in and become a horse racing owner at a fractional cost. So it's about building that awareness, and that you can own a horse that was, you know, not only born, foaled, and raised in New York, but also competes and runs in New York. And how cool is that?
Yeah, really. And, of course, they race all over the country, too,
yes,
not just in New York.
Correct.
And one of the things that that you also are involved in is you have a separate organization, branched, sister organization, based off of that. And it's a fund,
yes,
that you manage, and you're on the board of that too.
Definitely. That is the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund. So it is the quasi-state organization that distributes the incentives and awards for owning New York breds. So as an owner or breeder of a New York bred, you get some returns on the horses that you breed, and they go on to race in New York. You'll pick up checks if they finish first, second, or third in races, and the distributions of those checks that you earn are based on if the sire or the father of that New York bred was based here in New York or outside of the state. So it could be a Kentucky sire or a New York bred sire, and you can get up to, if it's a New York sire, 40% on the returns of purse earnings.
Really?
As a breeder. And if it's a non-New York sire, you can get 20%. So we kind of half it. And it's so importantly, because you drive around town in Saratoga County and you see these horse farms, and everybody makes a huge contribution that, as I mentioned, leads to the 19,000 jobs that encompasses the entire thoroughbred industry.
Yeah. At one point, and I don't know how many years ago, we used to have as a regular guest Sue Beebe, who was head of the Cooperative Extension. And agriculture in Saratoga County was the largest industry.
Mm-hmm.
And she always mentioned that one of the largest parts of the agriculture industry was the horse side of it, because of the farms. And I had mentioned where I took a friend of mine to the retired thoroughbred farm that Kim Weir is part of.
Yes.
And so there's even an aftercare program,
yes,
for thoroughbred horses.
Yes, it's great to see the expansion and continuation of thoroughbred aftercare retirement, mm-hmm, and making sure that our equine athletes are cared for post their racing careers, because, you know, it's always the glitz and the glamour of when they're on the racetrack. And of course, these babies that are acquired athletes, and they are athletes and they do love to run, and they can acquire hundreds of thousands of dollars in earnings, or whether or not they, you know, pan out of the racetrack or not, they can be retrained and go into other disciplines as a horse, but as well to see organizations such as Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga with our friend Kim Ware, which she is a part of, and other equine retirement facilities and rehabilitation places that were taking care of our horses that you see running during their career and post-career. And that's a big part of the picture. And as you mentioned, our organization and part of our promotion and lobbying is the protection of green space.
Yep.
So our members, we're protecting as farm owners over 3 million acres of green space, and make sure, like, it's not only urban sprawl, and we've got to protect our open land and spaces. And that's a huge part of our organization as well.
Right. And Saratoga County can provide that because of the area.
Yes.
I mean, we're very rural up here in upstate New York. But one of the things, and I want to get back to, you know, your job and role and your organization. One of the things about horse racing is people always use the phrase, well, what happens after they race? You know, are they discarded? Are they? But if they saw the aftercare program, I mean, horses really, the racehorses are very well taken care of from the time they're born, even through their racing career. And post-career now, and I don't think many people know that. They think they're just bred for racing, and then that's it. But these aftercare programs are awesome, and they need support. So, you know, we have Kim on to kind of project the fact that these horses, you know, are taken well care of, but they need support from you know, the average citizen to help do that.
Definitely. There's the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga, which we talked about, Old Friends at Cabin Creek, which is another aftercare retirement facility for horses, Rerun as well. So plenty of organizations throughout our area that support, you know, our equine athletes and thoroughbreds in retirement and retraining for Take Two, Take the Lead, which is the organization of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Group, which represents the owners and trainers on the NYRA racetrack. They have their own aftercare organization as well that retrains horses and finds them new disciplines and new homes. So, you know, thoroughbreds on average can live to about 20 to 25 years, if not more. Their racing careers on average are probably like 5 to 6 years. So you're, you know, how do we support that gap, that period from when they finish racing to when they can go on and live on and enjoy life as a horse in a field? If they're not, you know, immediately put into the breeding industry where they're standing as a sire, as a broodmare, which is a female horse that'll be making babies to go on and race. But it's all encompassing in our industry. And, you know, we want to work hard and, you know, upbringing and sharing that awareness that, you know, we appreciate and need everybody's support. And it's about the community, and the community of horses and everybody involved is making sure that our athletes are supported and throughout their entire career.
Sure. And it was awesome because I had told you before the show, the therapeutic horse farm, I had taken Barbara to, you can, it's a donation, but you get to spend an hour one-on-one with a retired thoroughbred. And man, oh man, because she took riding lessons here at Skidmore, and she even, back in China, she had, you know, horse riding experience. But you get to spend an hour with a horse one-on-one, and she was in seventh heaven. And she groomed the horse and walked it around and just loved it for an hour. And what a great experience to be around a retired racehorse and have it be so gentle. And, you know, it was just amazing. So your organization oversees New York breeders and New York racing. And you have an event coming up on Tuesday.
Yes. Tuesday. So it's a big sale in town. It's the Saratoga Fall Mix Sale. That will be at the Fazek Tipton Sales Company. The doors open at 10 a.m. In that sale, there'll be weanlings, so baby horses less than a year old.
Wow.
And, of course, broodmare prospects, so horses that can go on to be bred to and create more New York bred foals. So that's the primary focus of this sale. It's called a mixed sale, so that's why.
Okay.
You have the young babies and the broodmare prospects as well. And Sunday, October 12th, we'll have our general membership meeting as well at Basic Tipton. So if you're interested in learning more about our organization, please visit nytbreeders.org to learn more. And, you know, really in our role is just about building that awareness. We are a membership organization, and through a membership purchase, whether that be individually or joint membership or corporate, you can get benefits such as free entrance to the racetrack. A lot of people don't know about that, so that's a nice way to support our organization. Also, get into the racetrack free every race day. But as well, we produce a monthly magazine in addition to the lobbying that we do, and we host our programs to kind of build up the horsemanship and wealth-based knowledge of our breeders and interested folks. And so that's what we'll be doing at Sunday at Basic Tipton.
Neat. Now, Tuesday, it starts at 10.
Yes.
How long does it go on?
Well, you know, it'll go on till about, I would say, around 5 p.m. So it is a horse auction.
Right.
So there will be about, you know, I think over 420 or so hips or, you know, different horses that'll be tagged to go through the sale, and just goes through the pace of the sale.
Okay.
So, you know, we also have a sale in the summer, which is a New York bred yearling sale. So those are the horses that are New York breds that are 1 year old that go through the sales ring. And that's, you know, you start racing as a racehorse at 2 years old.
Right.
So you're getting like the AAA kind of prospects, and the energy's buzzing. And this sale is about, you know, building up your breeding core base for the future. But when you're, or there's also pin hooking, which is a method of people involved in the industry where they'll purchase a young baby horse as a weanling, grow it, and then sell it as a yearling.
Oh, okay.
So you have that aspect as well. But, you know, our industry continues to grow, and the support that we receive, just want to continue to get that knowledge out there.
Yeah. Now, that magazine, do you have to be a member to get it?
You do have to be a member to get it.
All right.
So please visit nytbreeders.org to learn more about our membership. But we also have issues online that you can peruse. But for the physical copy, that's for our members as a membership benefit.
Because I like to promote it during the year.
Thank you.
So, yeah, we'll give me that address after after the show. What was it like now? You were introduced to the sport by your uncle.
Yes.
In Florida.
Yes.
All right. What was it like, like the first time and getting around that?
Yeah. So my family's originally from Jamaica. Everybody immigrated to the U.S. I was born in Long Island, New York, Westbury, and grew up, you know, my family did own racehorses in Jamaica. It's a smaller breeding and racing industry. But, you know, everybody who is a fan of the sport, you move to New York and you've got Belmont, Aqueduct, Saratoga. So I used to grow up going to Belmont initially before our family moved down to Florida, and then going to Calder and Gulfstream. And I think like everybody around here locally and otherwise, you just get the bug. You see, you know, the racing, the way the horses try, and you see they're fully engaged with the jockeys and the pageantry as well. You know, you see the suits, the hats, the dresses. How could you not fall in love with horse racing?
Exactly. One of the things, too, about Saratoga that I think, and you would know more about this, you know, being around racing your life, you can get close to the jockeys, and it's more of a friendly type of place, I would think. I mean, I know how the interaction is up here with the horse owners and the jockeys and that, and you know, they're willing to get their picture taken with the kids. And I don't know if that happens at other tracks, you know.
Yeah, Saratoga is special. But I would say, in general, horse racing, definitely more fan accessible than any other sport. You can't go to a Bills game or a Patriots game and get right close to a player. But right here in Saratoga, if you can stand beside the jockey lane, you can get your photo taken during the action.
Right.
You may catch a player walking in the tunnel before a game, but this is, you know, live racing every 25 minutes or so. You can speak with a jockey, speak with a trainer. And, you know, as Rick will tell you and mention, you know, the men and women, like horse racing, one of the only sports where women and men compete each other
That's right.
in the race, whether trainer or jockey or the horses themselves. You'll have female horses running against male horses. So it's just something that you don't see, and to get to experience that is great.
Right. And we did have a couple great female jockeys this summer.
Oh, I mean, yes.
They were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the female trainers are great. Mm-hmm. Linda Rice is always on top of the leaderboard as far as wins go. But, you know, being where I am upstairs, guarding the press box stairs and getting to know a lot of the writers and that, we get a lot of young college students that work for the Saratoga Special.
Yeah.
And it always amazes me that how young people like that have the bug and the love of horse racing and get a career in the field. I guess once you have that in you, you just love it and it becomes part of your life.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the Saratoga Special and their team, the Clancy Brothers, Sean Clancy, Joe Clancy, and of course Tom Law, who's a local as well.
Yeah.
They do a great job. They produce a paper anytime there's really live racing, whether that's the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival at Saratoga, which has taken place here over the two last years, and of course next year as well, while redevelopment is being done at Belmont Park downstate. And during the meet, they produce a paper, the Saratoga Special, which you'll see if you walk on the track or just outside of the track. You can pick up at a newsstand
and it's free.
Yeah, and it's free. And it's just really all the information you need to learn about the day, about the meet. And really, they do a great job of making sure that they're recruiting individual and interested people, whether that be college students or otherwise, that want to get involved in the game. And that's great to see.
And it's a lot of the articles they do also are a lot of like background articles on trainers, owners, and jockeys. And it really is a great paper for insight into the sport, because you get to know the sport a little better through their articles. And I know Tony Ski, as we call him, does articles for them. And they're always very interesting, you know. Well, we have a caller here, so let's take it. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. Really nice to hear some horse talk on the radio. I'm actually affiliated with the Saratoga Special, so.
Oh, you are.
I'm still affiliated. I've retired jockey's agent.
Are you from the area?
Came on the track in 91 with Jerkins. Retired from the agent world in 2020 and now living full-time in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, neat.
And this is, by the way, my favorite radio station.
It is. Well, that's great. The kids do a great job running it. And
I donated about 3,000 pieces of vinyl last.
Oh, you did? They have a huge collection of vinyl, I'll tell you. And they you know, it's amazing for the kids because they still play them. And one of the things, you know, I'm not a fan of the music of today, but they like a lot of the older music, too. And that's great to see. So how was your interaction with the New York Thoroughbred Breeding, you know, in your position? Robert, you still there? Hello? Well, I guess he took off, but that's great.
Yeah, great to hear from Robert, an ex-jockey agent involved with the Saratoga Special, as we talked about.
Yeah.
And also a contributor to the radio station, like donating some vinyl. It was great to hear as well.
Yeah, it's great that he's involved at Skidmore.
Yeah.
He'll leave a little legacy behind. But here again, it's a gentleman that was involved in racing and lived in Saratoga and was involved quite a bit with on that side of the racing industry.
Yeah. I think the town motto is health, history, and horses.
Yeah, health, history, and horses.
So, you know, the connection with Saratoga and Saratoga Springs is just from the start. If you can just read it, the history with John Morrissey.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so cool. And, you know, that's from, like, the Gangs of New York. I know he was one of the like historical figures that was based on that movie, and
sure,
how he started the track. Even the story of the Rooneys and purchasing the Pittsburgh Steelers. What's involved in that story is a bet that was made by the senior Mr. Rooney, and money that he won in Saratoga Racecourse. So great to hear and see.
I think Robert's back on the air. So, hello, I think we got lost there.
Yeah, I'm taking a drive out this morning to Sacandiga Lake, and I lose cell phone reception out here.
Yeah, that's a tough area. I grew up in the area. So
yeah, my friend has a place on South Shore Road, and I'm going out to close it up for him for the winter, and I just remember being out here before how I had no cell phone signal.
Okay.
So I may be close to losing you again, but I just wanted to say I can't tell you how beautiful it is that you're talking horse racing on a Saturday morning on the radio in Saratoga. I'll call the office maybe and leave my cell phone number. If you ever want to, you know, need any help and you want to get some racing guests for a Saturday morning, I could probably help you out there. I'd love to, you know, maybe do a little freelance producing for you.
Well, you know what? That would be good. And I've got your number. It's up here on the phone. I'll give you a call later today.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
And Nash, congratulations. I know the breeders operation is tremendous. I've known people in the office for years. My good friend Tom Reynolds was a foal identifier, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He traveled the state looking at all the foals for the breeders, and outstanding organization. My good friend Dion is in the office.
Ah, Dion Johnson. Yeah, thanks,
yeah,
Robert.
She's
great.
The best.
Yes, she is.
Dion very well may have hung the moon.
Yeah. Well, do you know Naj at all, Robert?
Just in passing.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. He's, and I don't want to embarrass him, but because I think so much of him, but he's one of the greatest guys, and he's such a great representative for the New York breds, and the role fits him like a glove. So, you know, maybe you could find out a little more about that through him. But, yeah, I'd love to have you on to get the view of racing through your eyes. And I'll give you a call later today, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you again. And you guys have a great weekend.
And you too. You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's good. We get there's so many different facets.
That was a great call. Thanks,
yeah,
Robert.
It was. Yeah, appreciate the call, Robert. And good luck closing the camp on the Sagandaga. So we were talking about the three tracks.
Yes.
and the breeding and that. And I think I knew that Finger Lakes wasn't a part of NYRA. It's mm-hmm. a different corporation ownership altogether, but New York Bred still have a part of Finger Lakes.
Yes.
Dealings with them.
Correct? Certainly. Finger Lakes based in Western New York in the Finger Lakes region. Definitely a key contributor to our program and another outlet for New York Bred horses to race throughout the year, not only on the NYRA circuit, and especially at the summer in Saratoga. They have the New York Bred Derby out at Finger Lakes, and horses who win that race typically come back and race at Saratoga at the tail end of the meet. And also throughout the meet, you'll see figures such as Jeremiah Engelhardt and Chris Engelhardt and Jim Bond, who was originally from that Finger Lakes area, and stalwarts on the NYRA circuit. So a lot of interaction and communication, and definitely, you know, you'll see the transfer of horses between Finger Lakes and NYRA. And it's great to see, because it's just given our New York Breds and the breeders of our New York Bred horses and owners and trainers all the more opportunities to run and race and hopefully, you know, sustain careers and win some money.
Yeah, exactly. And build up racing on that end of the state.
Yes.
Too. I mean,
yes.
to get people interested in that part of the state. Because, you know, a sport that isn't in an area, it's very hard for the people of that area
yeah.
to, you know, experience racing in that. Just go back a little bit. We talked about, you know, the beginning of racing in Saratoga, because I think it's one of the oldest tracks in the country.
The oldest track, for sure. We're talking, I guess officially, we kind of use 1863.
Yeah.
1863. So, yeah, prior to just the Civil War.
Yeah.
We're talking about that kind of history. And, of course, the original track was at the Oklahoma Training Track facility, which is next door across Union Street. And then, of course, the structure was built just over across the street where you know it today. But no, phenomenal historical site as
well.
Oh,
yeah, it is. And, I mean, Morrissey was kind of a quite a character.
Yeah.
And you know, there's books written on him and the beginnings of Saratoga Racing. And we also have the National Racing Museum.
Yes, Hall of Fame.
Right across the street. And I know once a year with the inductions, that's quite a big thing. And I mean, our area here is so embedded with horse racing that it's amazing, really. And, you know, but yeah, it's fantastic to know, because I think he was even part of the casino and Congress Park.
Yes.
You know, and he had his hand in a lot of different things.
Yeah,
and
definitely Canfield Casino. As a part of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely, I think it was not only him, but Mr. Travers as well. I forget his first name, but I think it was William Travers and John Morrissey and those group of businessmen. And, you know, John Morrissey, integral person. And just please, like, look into the books or Wikipedia search. You'll be lost for hours.
Oh, you will.
Such a great figure and complex to know.
Yep. One of the we'll talk a little bit about horse racing in between the New York breeders, because you know, the two are hand in hand. Saratoga is so intertwined in horse racing, and horse racing's intertwined with Saratoga, and I don't think people in the area realize what NYRA brings to our area here, and how, you know, the whole county benefits from that. And I know that the New York breds play an integral part in that too.
No, definitely. I mean, we're talking about almost over $300 million in economic impact to our Saratoga and Capital Region with the NYRA and Saratoga meet that takes place, especially the last 2 years and next year as well, with hosting the Belmont Stakes in Saratoga while the redevelopment project is happening at Belmont Park. You see it in the property values if you're able to be fortunate enough to be a homeowner in this area, and just kind of the influx of capital, people coming in through the downtown on Broadway, enjoying the restaurants and, you know, the hotel capacity. It's all a part of, you know, racing and that fabric that NYRA is able to bring in with having this prestigious meet that is held here, and really America's foremost summer meet, at least on the East Coast. You know, you have Del Mar out west, but, you know, worldwide, we have the top jockeys, as Rick knows, coming in for the top races, outfits that are competing in England, France, Australia, and it's just great to see each year, and we fortunate enough for us to experience it.
Yeah. One of the guys that became a friend up there over the years, Pat Cunningham, who was involved in Hong Kong racing and now is with Rapoli Stables, and racing's big over in that area too. And I don't know how much we have to do with them as far as, you know, a relationship, but it's horse racing is worldwide.
Oh yeah. So the JRA, the Japanese Racing Association, they have an office at the Jockey Club headquarters in New York, and you'll see those guys in the summer come up to Saratoga.
Yep.
So a lot of interaction between both jurisdictions, and it's great to see. And as you mentioned, Rick, it really is a worldwide sport and a sport you can follow throughout the year. We're heading up in November will be the Breeders' Cup, which is basically the year-end world championships where the best of North America takes on the best of Europe, and the Belmont Park will be fortunate to host that in 2027, but something each year, and we have a couple of New York breds that are pointing for those races this year. Excellent. In Rhetorical on the turf and potentially Iron Orchard, a two-year-old filly as well on the dirt. So it's great to see that uplift and commitment. New York bred Fiorito from Finger Lakes won the Whitney in the early 70s. That was kind of the first horse to really put and stamp our program. But we've had Funny Side, a Kentucky Derby winner that was foaled at McMahon of Saratoga Thoroughbreds in town, and as well compete and won, you know, not only the Derby, but the Preakness as well, for, you know, Jack Knowlton and his racing partnership, Saratoga Stable, and Tis the Law, most recent New York bred, a Travers winner, a Belmont winner, who was the most bred horse last year in the industry.
Really?
Yeah, he covered over 200 mares. So that's nice to see. He's a former New York bred, Kentucky based now, but you can just see the growth and the expansion of our program, which is great.
So he was quite a happy
He was a busy guy last year.
What a guy. You know, we talk about the Breeders' Cup, and the thing that I like is there's quite a few races at Saratoga that win and you're in.
Yes.
And I love that, you know, because you can be not an average horse owner, but an average horse owner and get lucky and win one of those races. And then you're in a Breeders' Cup race.
Definitely.
And I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Rick, those are qualifying races where your entry fees and flight is all paid for. So you're just along for the ride. And, you know, with the prestigious meet at Saratoga, you have the Whitney, you have other races as well, the Jockey Club Gold Cup that grants you free entry if you win those races. And it's great to see because you get to see the floral blanket that's placed on the horse, a part of the pageantry, and just happy owners and a happy crowd anytime those races take place.
And it's great. It's good being here at a local track and seeing horses that are going to be in the Breeders' Cup. You can identify with them.
Correct.
You know, and it's almost like talking with somebody over the phone all the time. You don't know what they look like. And then finally you meet them and you can put a face to the voice. And the same way with winning, you're in. You can see the horse, and you know, when you watch the Breeders' Cup races, you could say, hey, you know, I saw that horse up in Saratoga.
Or the top trainers as well. You know, Chad Brown grew up in Mechanicville. He's one of the top leading trainers in the country year after year. Todd Pletcher. You can see those guys daily here at Saratoga, and how cool is that?
Oh, it is. It's really neat. And like I said, again, I'm so fortunate to see these guys and get to know them.
Yes.
We were talking about the Rooney family.
Yes.
With the Steelers. But you know who's up there every day and walks by every day and is kind of friendly, and we talk a little bit, is Tim Mara.
Yes.
The Giants.
The Giants. Yes, correct.
And he's there every day.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy.
Definitely.
And comes from a great family. So it's just a wonderful sport.
Yeah.
You can meet a variety of people.
And I think as well, formerly now passed, but Ralph Wilson of the Bills, he used to be a box owner at Saratoga. Bill Parcells, who we see often. A legend. Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
So you never know who you'll get to see in the crowd. Bobby Flay as well.
Bobby Flay. So, I used to see Jim Cott.
Yes.
Okay. Used to come up on his way to the Hall of Fame game and would stay the week. You get Lou Piniella was there one day with Bill Parcells. And so I, you know, I got a chance to talk to, I'm a big Yankee fan.
Yeah, wow,
I used to love Lou Piniella when he played, how he would mound up the dirt and kick it at the umpire.
Yeah.
So I went up to him one day and I said, Lou, I got to ask you a question. I said, you know, you're one of my favorite players. I said, because back in the 70s, baseball was fun. You had Weaver, the Orioles, and Billy Martin, and they used to get into some good arguments with the umpire. And I said, you used to get on your hands and knees and mound up the dirt and then kick it at the umpire. And he looked at me and says, you know, Rick, those were the good days.
That's awesome to see.
Yeah, it was. So it's great to see people that love the sport. And,
definitely.
You get to see him. One of the other ones that I used to see was David Cassidy.
Yes.
From the Partridge family.
Yes,
and he had a great singing career. and he had a box up at the track. And we were talking before, in the beginning of the meet, the first week or two when people are coming in that have been there year after year, it's like a family reunion.
Oh, yeah.
And he would come up, and he always had a habit of hugging. And he would come up and hug me and say, "Hey, Rick, it's good to see you this year." And because he owned a house up here for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was here for a while, three or four years. And so it, you never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah,
so
and also the families in the backyard.
That's right.
Who everybody who has their posts and definitely, you know, setting your blanket or to claim your spot at your table in the morning, coming back in the afternoon. I'm sure there's folks listening who have come here with friends years after years and definitely built that community. And that's what it's all about.
Oh,
is making sure that, you know, we're doing our part, you know, representing my organization, making sure that the breeding industry continues to grow, but as well working with NYRA and other stakeholders to ensure that everybody who comes out continues to have a great time and there's great and safe racing as well.
We talked a little bit about the fund.
Yes.
And how does the fund obtain their revenue?
Yes. So
that's an interesting
thing. Certainly some of the money that is redistributed in the awards and incentives is earned by first video lottery terminal machines.
Okay.
So those are the gaming and gambling machines that are located at Aqueduct Racetrack at Resorts World Casino in Queens, and as well a percentage of handle that is wagered. So for every race bet that you make, there is a percentage of takeout. That money that is taken out goes back to the salaries and sort of the onkeeping and making sure that racing's run well. So that pays for the tractors that you see, everybody that you see in terms of security and facilities. And a percentage of that takeout is also reinvested back in the industry. And through that money, it is redistributed in the form of awards and incentives so we can continue to grow the pot. Because what's also great about horse racing is you're wagering against your fellow player.
Right.
So you're not betting against a house. So you may be mad at the racetrack, you may have had a bad day, but the racetrack doesn't necessarily benefit whether you have we want you to have a great day because we're going to come back, but we don't necessarily, you're not betting against us. You're betting against your fellow gambler. And that's why you see the odds change are based on who everybody likes in each race.
Sure. Depending on how much is bet
on
each horse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, not that I bet a lot, but you get to know a little bit about how things work up there. What else can we talk about as far as what racing does for Saratoga? We talked about how it, you know, the agriculture part of it is one of the biggest, and the number of acreage that keeps the county green.
Mm-hmm.
And gives the horses a place to stay off meat that don't want to go traveling all over.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize on the jobs that are created. One racehorse employs over 25 people. You're talking about a farrier, which takes care of their feet, a veterinarian who comes out, scopes a horse, makes sure they're doing all right, a trainer. You know, linked with that, an accountant, you know, so many jobs extend from a racehorse to, you're talking about feed. So there's a feed store connected to that.
Right.
There's, you know, the grain. So one racehorse employs so much. And you look at a community at Saratoga, which has a connection directly to horses. You can see the breeding farms and the green acres as you pass by and drive around. So it's about that building up community. And really my job and my role is to help, you know, spread that awareness on the importance of the agricultural impact, the green space. And, you know, looking at it on the TV, you might just see a racetrack and you think it's just, oh, those are rich owners who are racing. Not so. It's about, you know, daily people and daily lives that are impacted and really, you know, able to make a living from the racing industry that takes place in locally and in our state.
And, you know, today there's used to be one horse owners or one owner owned race owners. And, you know, they called it the sport of kings back then. Well, now today it's syndicates that own most of the racehorses, and you can be an average person like myself, that could be part of an ownership of horses without a huge investment.
Right.
And I was had a doctor's appointment this week, and we got talking, and he said, gee, I saw you at the track this summer, and he stopped over to say hi. And he said, matter of fact, I have a horse going at Finger Lakes today.
Nice.
So I said, are you into syndication? He says, yeah, four of the other doctors here. And then friends of ours formed a syndicate and own horses. And he said, matter of fact, I was up at the track, you know, maybe 5 or 6 weeks of the summer. I take a block of time in the afternoon. So it's exciting, though, to see that an average person can be involved in a horse or two, whatever whatever syndicate you get into, and be a part of an ownership and horse racing.
Yeah, no, the entry level has definitely been made more accessible through fractional ownership, because as you mentioned, Rick, like traditionally in the cost, it was the sport of kings, or you had to be a wealthy, very business person to be able to afford the expenses of racing and, you know, campaigning a horse. But today, with fractional ownership, you'll only be responsible for a fraction of the costs, which make it affordable, and you still get the great experiences of paddock access, backstretch access, and really getting to enjoy the sport just as an equal level as any other owner out there.
Sure. And that's so important because, look, we know every sport has to go through a change. I mean, you take a look at football, you take a look at baseball, and they've baseball today isn't what baseball was back in the 60s, and that wasn't like baseball back in the 30s. So really, horse racing is evolving to make it more accessible to the average person, because they're the future of horse racing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And as well with that, we have the shows that are aired on Fox Sports, which is the daily coverage of the Saratoga meet, or throughout the year on the NYRA circuit. You can tune into Fox Sports and watch racing anytime, you know, we are racing throughout the year, which is great to see, because it's just another accessible point where you can get people who can turn on the TV and say, I'm interested in that. What's going on here? And then they'll come up and enjoy a day at the races and get to experience it firsthand.
Exactly. And, you know, we talked about Belmont and the old Belmont building, which was a beautiful piece of structure. It was cavernous, though. Had to be redone. I mean, it was an old building, but I was down there once, and I was awed when I went in. Because I compare everything to Saratoga. But, you know, it's awesome. I mean, racing, I know there's people that visit racetracks all over the country just for experience to see the different places. And again, that's a great thing, too.
Now,
New York, do New York breds race like in places over the country, like a different track, like we mentioned Delmar? I mean,
Certainly. So you'll see most trainers follow a pattern where through the fall, spring, and summer, they'll be based in New York. And of course, we appreciate and love our owners and trainers who stay here during the winter as well. But a portion leave and go to Florida or warmer climates, and they'll bring their horses, including New York breds. So you'll see New York breds compete at Gulfstream Park, which is South Florida in the winter, or Louisiana, or Oaklawn, which is in Arkansas, or out in California as well. So, yeah, really with the industry, and those are really the best of the upper echelon of the New York Reds. You'll get them to see them compete, and as their outfits and trainers move throughout the country, those horses will move as well. But they'll always return here for the summer because Saratoga is just the most prestigious meet.
Now, do you get to follow the New York Reds at the different tracks?
Certainly. So when I have the opportunities to travel and representation for the program, and wanting to meet other owners and fans to gather feedback. And again, if anybody's interested, please visit nytbreeders.org to learn more. And certainly a part of my role is just meeting people face to face and getting them to know that a New York bred is bred just as well and raised just as well as a Kentucky bred or any other horse that's out there that can win you any race, including the championship races throughout the year.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see the Breeders' Cup and see how our New York breds do.
Definitely.
do out there. And I mean, you know, you've got great leadership, and you're, you know, taking that organization to great places. Oh,
appreciate that, Rick.
Yeah, and bringing it. And I also have to mention that you haven't been married long,
<That's>
but you got married to a wonderful girl. And it's good to see her come
yes,
up to in the summer to keep you on the straight
Certainly,
and narrow.
Yes. They say, I guess an old adage is it's not the 40 days of racing, it's the 40 nights that I get to meet. But being recently married and happy that my wife, Rahel, gets to enjoy the meet. And she's become a racing fan herself. You know, before she met me, she didn't really know much about the industry, as many listeners like, yeah, what's really going on over there? But you meet a person, you can stop by, and then they'll show you the ropes, and how can you not fall in love, see the athletes compete and the effort that they put forth and the care once you know the knowledge and what we talked about earlier in the aftercare and the rehabilitation. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga, they also use horses as therapeutic animals.
Yes.
So they deal with a lot of, you know, ex-soldiers who are dealing with PTSD, a lot of children and students that have, you know what they're dealing with mental health wise, and horses can be a companionship animal. So it's great to see that as well.
Yeah, because one thing people don't realize about horses is that they love people.
Yes.
And they can sense different things. And I think that's why that organization has programs like that, because not only is it good for the human that has problems, but the horse senses that and kind of, you know, takes them under their wing and helps them out too.
Well, the connection between humans and horses, you're talking over centuries of the interaction, and definitely that continues on today. And you know, horses, they are the athletes. We treat them as athletes, and they have chiropractors, dentists.
They're getting
the full care, and we just want to make sure that we're making the public aware of that as well, so that we can have good advocates for the industry.
Oh, most definitely. Matter of fact, you know, I'm nervous around horses. I don't know why, but I took Barbara over to the therapeutic court. Kim invited us over, and of course, they went up to the fence, and the horse comes over, and they're loving it, and the horse is loving it. So I went over and the horse takes off. It happened twice. I said, what is it about me? I mean, they don't like Italians or what? So I had my back to the fence, and they were, you know, a little ways away facing the fence. And we were talking. All of a sudden, Kim says, don't move. So I stayed there. And next thing I know, the horse has its head on my shoulder.
Ah. Nice.
And I mean, here, I think it sensed I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
And it just came up to me and put its head on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm there like frozen, but I thought it was pretty neat.
Definitely.
And it just showed the interaction that you could have with horses.
Yeah. They know, they feel their energy like any other animal, right?
Yeah.
Whether dogs or cats. So if you're putting out good energy, if you're skittish, you'll make them skittish.
That's right.
If you're calm, they'll be calm as well.
That's right. So. Mm-hmm. You know, that's great. So you enjoy the nightlife in Saratoga during the meet?
A bit. Restaurants more these days, right?
Well, you know, that's the way it is.
Definitely.
Because you still have to socialize.
Yes.
And introduce people around the Saratoga area, too. I don't know. What else about Saratoga and horse racing do you think? Talk a little bit about the racing, National Racing Museum that we have, and the Hall of Fame, which is a huge, huge thing.
If you have the chance, please visit the Hall of Fame. It's a top tier museum, just as a museum itself, but some of the artifacts that you'll get to see and you'll get to learn about horse racing from the very early beginnings, from the three horses who set off the thoroughbred breed to like growing in the expansion of our Triple Crown winners, and the artifacts that they have that in that museum is just something great to behold. And they also have a key movie that you'll want to see afterwards that will really get you the bug and really get you the understanding for the care that not only everybody such as myself who works in industry or Rick does in the summers, but as well the fans, and continue to grow that to next generation of students and kids who can go on and be a part of our sport as well.
Yeah. You know, and you had said that, you know, NIRA employs quite a few people. And when Saratoga meet is, you get a lot of teachers that have the summers off to work. You have a lot of high school students and college students that come and work. And they, I'll tell you, a lot of them get the bug and end up going in the industry. There's one kid who's been a Whitecap for I don't know how many years. He works for the Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
In the advertising department. Nice. But he comes to Saratoga. He's involved in a syndicate, America's Pastime, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, those guys are great.
Yeah, and he just loves Saratoga and horse racing, so he takes his vacation and comes up and works as the white cat. So you get all these people that NIRA employs, and it's just great. It really is. It's a great, industry.
No, it is. It's a great cross section, as you mentioned, Rick, that you get to meet folks that are from various industries and backgrounds, and we're all one big family. And it's just great to see not only every summer, but throughout the year.
All right. One question before we turn it over to Homer. I'm just asking this question. I purchased the horse privately at an auction. How do I know it's eligible to be a registered New York bred.
So it'll be on the foaling papers of that horse. You would have the information of where the horse is foaled. If the horse is foaled in New York, typically the breeder would have registered it as a New York bred, but you will have the opportunity to contact the fund, which is newyorkbreds.com, or you can contact our organization, nytbreeders.org, and we'll help you throughout the process to get that horse registered as a New York bred to be eligible to compete in New York bred races.
Okay, excellent. And, you know, I just want to say thank you for being with me today.
Yeah,
and our listeners hopefully gained a little bit more knowledge of another part of horse racing and the organization that you lead.
Thank you, Rick. Happy to be here. Happy to be on Skidmore Radio. It's been a great audience and a great signal. So just thank you for the opportunity.
All right. And